40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Matt Piper in New York, where former President Donald Trump will soon be landing to face his arraignment.
There he is!
Supporters there when he left his home in Florida. Those charges stem from alleged hush money payments he made during his 2016 campaign. The NYPD says security is tight. Police Commissioner Keyshawn Sewell.
I will remind everyone that violence and destruction are not part of legitimate, lawful expression, and it will never be tolerated in our city.
The mayor here in New York says there is no specific threat. To Nashville, where one week ago, three children and three adults were shot and killed at their school. In protest, students have left classes and walked to the state capitol to demand more action on gun control. Bryn Jones is with the group March for Our Lives.
More guns is not going to keep us safer, and bulletproof backpacks and metal detectors are literally a band-aid over a bullet hole.
There is now a lawsuit after a school shooting in Virginia, as our Jim Crisula reports.
Abby's Werner has filed a $40 million lawsuit against the Newport News, Virginia school system. The 25-year-old first grade teacher was shot and wounded by a six-year-old student in early January. She alleges school administrators ignored multiple warnings on the day of the shooting that the boy had a gun and was, quote, in a violent mood.
That suit accuses school administrators of gross negligence. The dangerous weather across the country is still underway. Meteorologist Craig Allen has the latest.
St. Louis down to Little Rock, portions of Mississippi once again. All these areas that have been hit so hard will have to watch out once again for the threat of tornadoes, large hail, lots of disruptions in travel.
There's a blizzard warning in Nebraska and the Dakotas, high wind warnings from California to Texas. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association says Hurricane Ian, which blasted ashore in southwest Florida in September, was the costliest in Florida history and the third costliest ever in the U.S., $112 billion. Russian authorities are blaming Ukrainian intelligence agencies for orchestrating a bombing at a St. Petersburg cafe that killed a Russian military blogger who supported Moscow's invasion. Correspondent Holly Williams is in Ukraine.
In St. Petersburg yesterday, Vladan Tatarsky, a well-known Russian military blogger, was presented with a statue. According to Russian state media, a bomb was hidden inside, and when it exploded, it killed Tatarsky. He'd been a vocal supporter of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russia's pointed the finger at Ukraine for the killing, but a Ukrainian official called it Russian domestic terrorism.
This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The race for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District could determine if Republicans get a supermajority, allowing them to impeach Democratic Governor Tony Evers and other elected officials. It would also bring the GOP a step closer to being able to override the governor's vetoes. Tomorrow, voters choose between Democrat Jody Habesh-Sinikin and Republican Dan Knotel. Knotel, one of 15 state Republicans who sent a letter to then-VP Mike Pence in January of 2022, asking him to delay certifying the presidential results showing Joe Biden beat Donald Trump. There are two referendum questions about cash bail on tomorrow's ballot, looking to change the language surrounding how the court imposes bail. Supporters say the measures benefit public safety. Some opposed say it's more of a political agenda, with the legislature trying to dictate to circuit court judges how to do their jobs. Tune in to Civic Media stations for live election coverage tomorrow starting at 7 p.m. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Monday morning at 8. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, your personal injury attorneys dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve. GTWLawyers.com.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian, bad guys of the galaxy, beware. The defender of the universe is here.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke, Brian.
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
What is up, party people? It is Monday, April 3rd, the day before Election Day, and I swear, it comes faster and faster every cycle. Protecting democracy, as we've said on this show numerous times, is a 365-day job. But hopefully after tomorrow, we will get a few days or at least a few weeks to catch our breath. We got an awesome show for you today. Lucky everyone that Papa Luke is out of town. You know, he didn't do his homework again. He's going to enjoy opening day down at AmFam Field. But I have a wonderful slate of party people prepared today. First, we, of course, have Evan, the man, the myth, the legend, the cliche statement about everybody's favorite bro, and very, very special guest that I brought on today, a personal friend of mine and an expert on all things election, Eric Rolholm. Now, Eric works as a has worked on progressive campaigns throughout the Milwaukee area. He was part of Students for Bernie. He's worked on numerous progressive local candidates campaigns, as well as himself running as a Democratic Socialist for the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors last April. He currently serves as the social media organizer for Our Wisconsin Revolution, and fans of the show might recognize Eric as somebody we had on last fall to discuss the importance of upcoming elections and some of the lesser known ideas related to electoral politics. Eric, what's up with you today? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. Tomorrow is Election Day, and I'm looking forward to seeing months, if not years, of hard movement work hopefully pay off tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I know for a fact you've been putting in the work because we've been putting on the work together for a lot of these issues.
Right.
Because coalition building, particularly for progressives and individuals who think like us, it's difficult. We don't have the money. We don't have the power. We don't have the connections of some of the incredibly wealthy corporatists that we are up against. But that's why working class solidarity is so important. Now, something that I want to jump off, I want to start the show today with something that hasn't received the same level of coverage as obviously the $50 million Supreme Court race that Luke and I have talked about numerous times over the past few weeks. And that would be the ballot referendum questions. Now, you will be seeing these at the end of your ballot. And I mean, there's a lot to talk about in regards to these questions. Wisconsin is very well known for having advisory only ballot referendums, meaning that they are non-binding. However, these three questions, they don't quite apply in the same way. So I brought on somebody that is even more knowledgeable than myself to discuss why these are important, how we can kind of navigate the intentionally vague, intentionally confusing wording and verbiage that was used in these questions, and how we can approach these questions going forward to know what we might see at the state level. So, Eric, I'm going to toss it to you. I'd like you to explain, why are these questions on the ballot, what these questions signify, and what the powers that be might be hoping to accomplish by having these questions on the ballot.
Sure, sure. Well, once again, thank you so much for having me. I want to start by saying I'm not a lawyer. criminal justice is not really my beat, but I do know a lot about money and politics and about elections, particularly in the state of Wisconsin, and shenanigans and anti-democratic behavior at the state and federal level. And I say that because these referendum questions, so it's going to be two constitutional amendment questions and then an advisory referendum, which is non-binding. We'll talk about that in a second. But these are not part of a good faith attempt to engage a majority of Wisconsinites in their unified passion to clean up our pretrial detention system. No, these questions found their way on the ballot because partisan big money Republicans have a lot of power in the legislature because of gerrymandering, which we'll talk about very soon. But put these questions on the ballot. This is really part of a Republican power grab to consolidate power and keep Republican priorities in the news. And so we'll talk a little bit about all the how the money and the politicians work together to kind of astroturf these issues, so to speak, and keep them in the news. But overall, I want to just ground us with some of the like really basic facts that we all know. Wisconsinites are aggravated about the skyrocketing price of rent, about skyrocketing mortgage costs. Americans are struggling to afford groceries, particularly Wisconsinites. The prices of eggs are still rising, for example. And being able to afford and access health care. These are the things that Wisconsinites over and over and over again tell us that they care about in polls and with their votes. On top of that, issues like legalizing marijuana, rolling back right to work for less, as I like to call it, maintain 70% plus support in Wisconsin. So any reasonable democracy would be able to make action on those items. But of course, that's
the word reasonable is doing a lot of heavy lifting right there, Eric.
Yes, it is. So I want to be very clear. You've probably not had a lot of conversations with your neighbors about bail reform, and that makes sense. Wisconsinites are not rising up at the grassroots level to complain about bail reform. This is part of a GOP agenda. This is an effort that is poll tested. They use lots of data, lots of money, and driven by consultants, and then very heavily financed from the top down to try and terrify particularly older white voters into siding with the GOP.
That's a great point, Eric. I've been doing a lot of door knocking. You've probably been doing a lot of door knocking, too. Bail reform is not something that I hear at the doors at all.
Right.
And remember, folks, fans of the show will know that I'm in Germantown. You know, we joke about my neck of the woods, 8th Senate District race, which is coming up tomorrow as well. Very important race. We'll touch on that a little bit later. That would be the demographic conceptually that the GOP, I think, is targeting with this kind of with these kind of questions. Those are the voters that they want to energize and get to turn out. I'm at these people's doors and they are still not saying that to me because they don't care. There might be a small subset of people who are turned out by this. And general consensus that I've heard from a lot of people involved in politics is exactly what you just said, that these ballot questions were put forth solely to drive turnout for Dan Kelly in the Supreme Court race.
Yes, exactly. And notably to distract us from other issues, like I've already mentioned, protecting the environment, legalizing cannabis, raising the minimum wage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a reason that they use criminal justice as their wedge issue, or bail reform in particular. And that is because Republicans, for better or worse, they still have kind of a polling advantage on crime and policing issues and trust in law enforcement and trust on crime. And that's not because Republicans are really smart on this issue, Republican politicians, I want to clarify. It's not because they've done hard work to have a common sense consensus position on these issues. It's actually largely because Democrats have really backtracked, actually, I would argue, on public safety and police issues and police policing since 2020. A lot of party leaders, Joe Biden, tried really hard to crack down on the Black Lives Matter protests and really move against the direction of criticizing police forces really at all. And I have this little expression where I say, if you're the only team on the field kicking around the soccer ball, you're going to win by default. So it's really, really, really important for us to be talking about these things seriously, because I framed that point at the beginning of that we're voting on this and not voting on cannabis and not voting on the $15 minimum wage. And that is because these questions frame the Republican view. And in general, when we don't talk affirmatively about the movement we can make on these issues, we're ceding ground to Republicans. I think of two particular politicians in this moment, Eric Adams in New York. He's the Democratic mayor of New York City. He's been very regressive and reactionary on these issues, very pro-police, has openly said that politicians and members of the Democratic Party are undermining faith in law enforcement. That's a lie. It's really not true. But he's saying it for political clout, and it's actually helping undermine the case for progressive reforms that we know we all need. And the other one I wanted to highlight was our president himself, Joe Biden, at the State of the Union. I think it was last year, actually. Fund the police, fund them, rather than going on the offensive with an affirmative vision of what public safety would look like in a smart, data-driven, fiscally responsible way. We get fear tactics and lies and really manipulatively written ballot questions, which is how we get to a position where our Republican supermajority in the legislature, without really asking anyone, any of us, can put their pet issues on the ballot and really change our Constitution without really fairly letting us know that that's what's happening.
They have complete control of the narrative. And actually, something you just touched on, that it reminded me of a debate I was at a couple of weeks ago, where both candidates were essentially making the same point. And the Republican candidate reinforced, oh, I agree with you in that regard, that we need better funding of our police. Of course, the topic of shared revenue came up, and how essentially the Republican legislature is, in a way, defunding the police themselves by reducing shared revenue. However, the moderator noted that there's quite a bit of data out there to suggest that simply throwing more and more money at police without structural reform doesn't actually reduce crime. I'm of the belief that crime is generally more caused by a lack of resources in a community, right? People are forced to fight over very limited amount of resources they have available. And so they turn to other avenues of survival. Throwing more and more money at the enforcers of justice, if you are not handling those, ground level systemic issues that are causing this type of crime to develop, it's not an applicable solution in my mind.
That's really, really well said. So I'm glad that we're having this conversation, because what these ballot questions do is really frame the issues on the Republicans' terms and give us the choice of whether we stay in place or move backwards. And that's a wrong choice. That's a false choice. We actually can move forward on this issue. And so I'm excited to actually get into the content and the text of these questions themselves.
And we will be doing that right after the break. We also have a very, very special giveaway. I know I touched on where Luke might be today, and I think you're going to want to see what we have to offer you to our wonderful listeners. You might be able to join him tomorrow. Well, not join him, but join where he is today, tomorrow, after the break. We'll get right back with that. Please stick around. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And if you're lucky, Evan, Will, and Eric.
On Tuesday, April 4th, we have a chance to elect people who will do the right thing for Wisconsin and for Waukesha. We need experienced leaders we can trust. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court, Fred Stram for Waukesha County Circuit Court, and Diane Voigt for Waukesha School Board. Janet, Fred, Diane. Because we can trust them. Vote on April 4th. Your vote and your voice matter.
Paid for by Blue Sky Waukesha. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Maxine Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Maxine Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 56, winds out of the west 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight, lows dip down to about 39, cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies again tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, high temperatures reach up to 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For our next.
And our politics.
We got you covered on that.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Never back down.
Welcome back, party people. It is again Monday, April 3rd. And Ev, we didn't even note that it's sunny and 54 degrees right now. You are welcome, southeastern Wisconsin. That's what happens when Will's on Dueling Tangents.
Show your thanks, folks. Show your thanks, because he brings it every week.
I bring the heat, both literally and metaphorically.
Nice.
And, you know, it's opening day. I wanted Luke to be able to enjoy the day, right? Take some time for himself. Go watch our Milwaukee Brewers. Hopefully, take home a dub on opening day. And speaking of the Milwaukee Brewers, we have a giveaway today for our listeners for tomorrow, Tuesday, April 4th, Brewers Mets game starting at 6:40 p.m. Central in Milwaukee. We got excellent, excellent seats, section 336. I know they're excellent because I talked to Luke, who is in them quite literally today. And we want to give them away to you. Please give me your best opening day story. Give us a call, 1-844-967-2789. I got to say, Ev, it's been years since I've attended an opening day, and I don't have very many great stories, so I need you all to provide me with something that I can then pass along as my own, perhaps. Or don't worry, I'm just kidding. I'll give you all credit where credit is due.
Please share some great stories with me. They brought the proverbial heat on Friday. We had some great stories, so you guys really, really, you got to come with it. You got to come on strong. Give us some crazy stories.
Well, you sound a little more experienced than me, Ev, so you might have to be the one to tell me what's a great story, because I'll think every story is great at this point. I have no opening day stories to share with anybody.
I mean, I'm experienced with the crazy, not so much the opening day. So I think with our combined knowledge, you know, we'll be able to prognosticate and figure out, you know, who's really truly deserving, what sort of degeneracy has earned these tickets.
We'll figure it out. We want to make sure that we can get you two tickets to tomorrow's Brewer game. It's going to be a lot of fun. 844-967-2789. So back to the topic at hand. I have our Wisconsin Revolution's social media savant and election expert, Eric Rollholm, here. And we're discussing the ballot referendum questions that you will see on your ballot tomorrow. Eric, could you get back to it? What these questions are going to do? Now, they're, again, as we mentioned, intentionally confusing, purposely vague. But how can the average Wisconsinite understand this question? Like, what are the questions themselves saying? What are they trying to get us to vote on?
Yeah, good. So like I said earlier, these questions are part of a Republican power grab to consolidate and hold on to power. So it's not confusing, or excuse me, it's not surprising that the questions are worded very confusing on purpose. They do not care what our opinion is on this issue. They want an excuse and a tactic to be able to change the Constitution in this way that is favorable to them, as well as juice turnout for their preferred candidate, which is Dan Kelly.
Well, we've had voting referendums tell them what the vast majority of Wisconsinites believe. You mentioned some of them earlier. Cannabis in particular is the obvious one that has extreme, extreme support. Legalization of abortion and women's health protections has extreme Wisconsin support. Right. That didn't matter, but these do matter. Why is this different?
Yeah, so these ones are constitutional amendments in particular. There's a third question that is an advisory referendum, but they've managed to get constitutional amendment questions on the ballot. So these will change the Constitution if they pass. And so let's talk about the meat and potatoes of what's in them now, because these questions undermine the entire purpose of cash bail in a really dangerous way. So cash bail overall, this is a complicated topic, but overall, to very simplify it, cash bail is supposed to be a tool to compel folks to attend their court date, not to keep them locked up indefinitely. It is to provide an incentive to come to your court date because you know
it incentivizes you to return, much like a deposit to something. If you keep whatever you rented in good quality condition, you protect it, you will get your deposit back. You're using money to incentivize people to return.
And here's why this is important, because there may be folks that are listening right now that go, well, why do these criminals get to buy themselves freedom? These are not criminals. These are not folks who have been convicted of a crime. These people have not yet had a trial. In the United States of America, we are innocent until proven guilty. What these questions do is allow money, cash in the bank, to keep you behind bars without your constitutional right to a trial. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. Senator Chris Larson does. Some sick number of folks that are behind bars in Milwaukee County, specifically on any given day. It's like between 1/3 and 2/3. I know that's a huge range. Have not even had a trial. So a lot of politicians on Team Red, as I affectionately call them, like to make a lot of claims about crime in Milwaukee and the number of folks behind bars. This is a huge part of why. This is mass incarceration in action, putting people unjustly behind bars.
It sounds like a poverty penalty to me, right?
Well, it is. It is. And that's another really, really, really important thing to note. The people who are likely to be arrested in the first place are already disproportionately likely to not have a lot of money. And as a reminder, most Americans can't even afford a $1,000 expense, let alone thousands, to see their families or go to work. And that is pragmatically what's at stake here. Folks who have not had their trial and who have not had the right to trial by jury, for example, who are behind bars, might not be able to go to work. What if your cell phone isn't with you, right? You have children that you need to get from school or drop them off, or a spouse or siblings or parents that you need to communicate with. This in practice is exactly how mass incarceration can sever communities and keep people apart, because the phone costs money to use when you're in that situation. You're locked behind bars. And if you don't have the cash or the ability to get the cash, you're straight out of luck without even having a trial. Our Wisconsin Constitution believes very strongly in a justice system guided by results and public safety, not a two-tiered pay-to-play system.
You know what it reminds me of a lot, Eric, is a lot of corporations, essentially, it's the cost of doing business if you break the law and pay a fine. They don't look at it as, oh, we're doing bad, we're doing wrong. They literally put it into their budget as, yeah, we're going to break the law, we'll pay a tiny small fine, you know, maybe 2% of whatever profits we make for skirting the law. It's the same concept, same exact concept. So we'll be right back after this break. We're going to finish up on the referendum questions and then jump into the big daddy itself, the Supreme Court race. A lot of marbles on the line here. Stick around. We'll see you right after the break.
It was never easy for me. Right. I was born.
Fear you may be missing.
WAUK 540.
CBS News Brief. Former President Donald Trump will arrive shortly here in New York City before making a court appearance tomorrow. Mayor Eric Adams says there are no specific credible threats, but
as always, we will not allow violence or vandalism of any kind. And if one is caught participating in any act of violence, they will be arrested and held accountable.
In Tennessee, they're calling it a March for Our Lives, a planned walkout by students following the killings of six people at a school in Nashville 1 week ago today. Bobby Sloan is with the Students Demand Action Group.
This doesn't just happen in schools. Gun violence is a public health crisis, and it's just gone on for far too long.
It's a day of cleanup after deadly tornadoes. Correspondent Omar Villafranca is in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Cleanup efforts already underway. They're putting things towards the front of either businesses or where you live. And if they have to rent things to help clean, that's something that federal funds can absolutely help.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin Republicans are standing by a controversial text message blasted out Friday during tornadoes in southern Wisconsin. It looked and sounded like a severe weather alert, but it urged recipients to vote for Dan Kelly for Supreme Court. Democrats call it irresponsible. Republicans call it free speech. If former President Donald Trump is arraigned tomorrow, political observers say it could motivate more Trump supporters to vote for Dan Kelly. The Supreme Court election is tomorrow as well.
The politics cut both ways, right? He's a this may be a motivator for conservative voters. It's also a motivator for Democrats.
Democratic strategist Joe Zepecki was on Upfront yesterday. In sports, the Bucks beat Philadelphia last night. The Brewers host the Mets today. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you'd love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe.
New time, 3 to 6 p.m. And Dom!
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Back, party people. Ev, I gotta give a shout out to you here quick. That's another banger. I don't know who I would pick to make a playlist if I was having a party, you or the guy who does Donald Trump campaign events, because those are just, they slap left and right.
F that guy. No, you gotta pick me. This is Primus. We have the fine song called American Life. I suggest that our listeners give it a listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much, Ev. All right. We're going to get back to the ballot referendum questions, try to finish up on this so we can get into the Supreme Court race. Luckily, I have an expert who knows it like the back of his hand. So, Eric, we've touched on the two questions that will amend the Constitution. We've touched on cash bail in and of itself being a bit of a kind of use as like a poverty penalty, essentially, and that it's, you know, it's not a fine. It's not the law if you can just pay a fine to get around it. Then the law is not being applied equally to everyone. Can we cover the third question, the non-binding ballot referendum question? What does it state, and why was it posed this election cycle?
Yeah. So that the third one is kind of a funky one. So the third one is not binding, whereas the first two are. And just to summarize, we've talked about how these questions are part of a Republican power grab to really undermine the purpose of cash bail in the first place, which is to make sure that people go to their trial dates before they have their trial. These are people who have not yet had a trial. It's kind of a crime and punishment situation, because the last piece of the binding questions is that it is Republican politicians who themselves get to define what serious harm and violent crimes are. And you mentioned earlier about corporations and corporate power. Well, funny enough, one of the things that they define as violent crime is endangering profits. So this is
weird truly, coincidence, right. I'm sure, huh?
So Republicans are trying not only to change how folks are kept behind bars, but what puts them behind bars in the first place. So like I said, this is a very dangerous assault on our democracy and a step backwards instead of forwards on criminal justice and public safety. The last question, so those two are binding. Please, folks, I am asking you, and our Wisconsin Revolution is urging you to please vote no on those questions. The third one has not gotten as much attention as the other ones, because it is not binding. But it is the latest iteration of the tired Republican lie that you've probably heard before, that Wisconsinites just don't want to work, and that banning food aid from single men is an appropriate response for some reason. This question is absolutely disgusting. First of all, this is kind of a catch-all question. The use of the term welfare is very confusing because, as folks may know, there are several forms of overlapping food aid, some distributed at the federal level, some distributed at the state level. There's an overlapping patchwork of work requirements and other documentation requirements. Very rigorous, actually, documentation. In fact, more often than not, folks who need food don't get it because of how complicated it is to apply through the means testing than folks who are exploiting this program for free. There is no evidence that this is an issue. Also, let's use some common sense. Unemployment in Wisconsin is low. Businesses complain of being unable to find workers. Lots of Wisconsinites are working. In fact, a lot of us are working more than one or two jobs to pay the frickin' rent and buy groceries and put food in our bellies in the first place. There is no invisible lazy group. But this is a return to a broader lie that actually both parties have a history of participating in. And that's the idea that cutting aid to workers is supposed to somehow juice the economy. And we know that that doesn't work just from our experience in the last 2 years. When Joe Biden and the Democrats cut extended unemployment insurance that was beefed up during COVID, that really hurt a lot of people without making a huge impact on the unemployment rate. There was not an invisible group of lazy people who were collecting free stuff. It just hurt a lot of people. When we ended the child tax credit, we watched child poverty return to very similar levels before we had started it, but a groundswell of folks did not re-enter the workforce. There was not the invisible group of people that they assume is not working and collecting free stuff. The federal
well, they just use it for fear. They're just trying to scare their base, like we talked about earlier. Oh, all these lazy single men are sitting home and playing, you know, playing on their Xbox all day. They don't want to. We shouldn't give them food stamps or anything. Like it's wild. And
we're going to get people off of their couches and get them back to work. We created an entire class of lazy people.
That was fast.
Thank you, Tim Michaels, for essentially. I hope that is the Hillary Clinton deplorables moment. You know, where people kind of recognize, like, look. They look down on you. They genuinely don't respect you as a human being. They want you to suffer. They want you to be desperate and be forced to accept whatever poverty wage they throw at you. Nothing screams Wisconsin GOP more than something that is already the law being put on an advisory referendum so that they can confirm what the people of Wisconsin think. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So this is already the law, I want to clarify. And I want to really reinforce food aid works, and it's actually more important than ever. Obesity, diabetes, heart disease, as well as food deserts are all significant issues impacting Americans' diet and ability to eat foods that they want. Health outcomes in the U.S. are moving in the wrong direction. Life expectancy is getting worse. Infant mortality is getting worse. Health in general is getting worse.
Have you seen that graph, Eric?
Yes.
So it's literally the United States, like, careens down, after 2020, while the rest of the developed world, there's a slight dip for COVID, but they're starting to come back up, not the United States. I believe this, our generation is the first generation in human history that has a lower life expectancy than their parents. And that's not, there's a number of reasons for this, right? A, Americans have, we have terrible health coverage, right? The vast majority of people are afraid to go in and see a doctor because they can't afford it. B, we have highly sedentary lifestyles, which are not, it's not conducive to a long-term healthy lifestyle. Oh, C, we have very poor diets because we're forced to eat cheap, frankly, crappy food a lot of times because that's easy access. And the only thing that you have time for in between your multiple full-time jobs, it's just, it's like one cataclysmic issue after another, just piled on top of the average Americans. And the wealthy are insulated from these issues, so they don't care. It doesn't bother them.
Right, exactly. This is a common sense thing. This is a non-binding question. Again, I want to urge you, and our Wisconsin Revolution urges a no vote on this question. It will not change the law, but it is also patently ridiculous. We need to move forward on this issue at a time when healthcare costs are rising, the cost of food is rising, and health outcomes are moving the wrong direction. Obviously, we need to make it easier, not harder, for Wisconsinites to be eating good meals. This is a ridiculous non-issue and a total attempt to bring back a Ronald Reagan talking point from 50 years in the past.
So that's no's across the board. I believe the League of Women Voters also suggested that, as well as Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. So we're going to move on to the Supreme Court race now, get a little bit of coverage in on that, because, again, $50 million has been spent on this race for a reason. This race is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly important. I believe that's three times more money than the old national record for a state Supreme Court race. But first, want to remind our listeners out there, we got two seats to tomorrow's Brewers game, and we want you to have them. Give us your best opening day stories, 1-844-967-2789. We are looking forward to hearing some of them. I need to build up my repertoire of good opening day stories because I don't have very many. So I'm relying on you, our wonderful, talented listeners, to give me some awesome, awesome opening day stories. So, Eric, let's jump into the Supreme Court race. Now, first, I got to ask you, what nickname do you think is better? I've been snowballing, you know, workshopping these two ideas, and I can't come to a conclusion on what I like more. 2L Kel or Double L Dan?
Ooh, I kind of like Double L Dan.
Double L Kel. How's that? Double L Kel.
Double L Kel. Okay. Well, so my thought process was you keep the alliteration of Double L Dan. You keep in the D's involved, or 2L Kel, you're going with the rhymes. I personally preferred 2L Kel, but I have a ton of faith in the two of you, and I wanted to hear others' thoughts. If you're interested as well, what's a better nickname? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Tell me what Dan Kelly nickname you prefer. What are we going to get viral? What's going to go on? What's going to blow up on Twitter after tomorrow's race? And Eric, you are my election expert. You have dug into the data much better than I have. We've talked about my predictions on the show in the past, but what are you seeing in regards to this race? What do you think is, I don't want to put you on the spot with, you know, what's going to happen, what's the most likely outcome, but give the listeners a bit of a sense of what you're hearing as a boots on the ground organizer in regards to this race.
Well, I know they say if you explain a joke, it's not funny. But to explain that joke and why it is funny, 2L Kel would be our friend Dan Kelly, formerly defeated Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. So in 2020, Jill Karofsky defeated him once, and it was a fairly significant defeat.
11 points, I believe.
Right. Since then, he decided to consult for the Republican Party of Wisconsin, allegedly was involved in some January 6th election subversion stuff. So this is a very ideological, far-right activist type of politician who's running for this 10-year term again. We defeated him once. And so for that reason, Will, I feel pretty good about this race, actually, to tell you the truth, because Dan Kelly has been unapologetic about his radical views on the issues, his extreme religious positions on the issues, and how he's going to bring his own personal right-wing philosophy with him, and the dark money groups, the anti-choice groups that have really shown up, and the far-right activists, frankly, in the January 6th insurrectionists who have come to the state of Wisconsin to campaign for Dan Kelly. Wisconsinites have no interest in that election theft nonsense. Like I said earlier, we are upset with the basics. We can't afford the house, the cost of housing. We can't afford groceries. The Wisconsin Supreme Supreme Court being in fair, independent hands would finally allow us to end one-party Republican rule in Wisconsin. And I think a lot of Wisconsinites know that, and whether their top issue is abortion rights, LGBTQ plus rights, clean air and water in their community, those are the types of issues that they can count on getting a fair look with Janet Protasiewicz on our Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so my neck of the woods is the 8th Senate District race, which is also incredibly important, as we just heard from Jane. With that race, there was a debate literally last week, I believe, where that what you just mentioned came up mm-hmm. in regards to the importance of this race in a number of issues, both from gerrymandering perspective, women's health perspective.
Right.
I'm pretty well versed, I think, on my area. I've spent a lot of time door knocking, the people in my community, which I love to do. I mean, I've grown up here. I've lived here my whole life. I want to hear what people in my community think. Do you have any insights that might be particularly interesting on what we're seeing at the state level with this Supreme Court race that the average voter might not be aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is actually very opportune that your kind of neck of the woods and sort of some of those Milwaukee suburbs is the place where there's an open seat right now. Because folks
just say the Wow Counties, Eric. It's the Wow Counties you're referring to.
The Wow Counties, yes. Washington, Ozaukee, Waukesha. Yeah, I almost said Winnebago. Wrong. No. So
I wish.
Those are places, actually, this goes back a few years. Those were the places, even though Donald Trump won the presidency, it was suburbs like that where Democrats started to make gains. And so in 2018, they really started to move forward in some of those suburbs across the nation, and in 2020 continued to do so. So these are areas that were once Republican strongholds for a variety of reasons.
Famous national Republican strongholds, like right. recognized nationally as some of the most conservative, right. predominantly white counties in the country.
Right. And thank you for bringing that up, because the segregation was part of the reason it voted the way it did. And that
exactly.
segregation actually does, de facto or not, have to explain a lot of the disparities that continue between the wealth of the Wow counties and the poverty of Milwaukee County. A survey came out the other day of county health rankings, and Milwaukee was 70 out of 72. But in any case, those suburbs that we're talking about are places where Democrats and progressives have a real opportunity. And there's a few reasons for that. The Daryl Brooks trial was a very high-profile case. Judge Jennifer Darrow was the judge in that case. She ran for Supreme Court, and she and Dan Kelly really bashed heads. Dan Kelly was very, in my opinion, disrespectful to her, said that he would not endorse her.
Would not endorse her if she beat him
really,
in the primary.
Yeah, really talked down to her.
Astonishing.
And the Wild Counties built kind of a relationship with Judge Darrow. Darrow, I guess. And also, these are areas that, even if they tend to be a little more economically conservative traditionally, these are areas that care a lot about good schools, about freedom to be ourselves, freedom to speak our minds, freedom to vote for who we want to, and freedom to make decisions about our own bodies. And Dan Kelly has radically moved out of the way has radically departed from that. And so there's a real opportunity for progressives, I think, to really rack up the score and change the game for where we consider to be Republican safe areas.
And we'll touch it. We'll finish up our conversation on the Supreme Court race, get to the 8th Senate District right after the break. There is just so much going on. Election season in Wisconsin 24/7, right? We'll see you after the break.
Everyone deserves freedom over their own body. Everyone deserves the right to choose. Everyone deserves access to quality, affordable health care without judgment. And everyone deserves a health care provider who stands firm on these beliefs. This is the Planned Parenthood experience at any one of our 22 health centers across Wisconsin that offer reproductive health care services for everyone. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. That's ppwi.org, and get the care you deserve, because we will provide that care no matter what.
Todos merecen la libertad sobre su propio cuerpo. Todo el mundo merece el derecho a elegir. Todos merecen acceso a una atención médica económica y de calidad sin juicios. Y todos merecen un proveedor de atención médica que se mantenga firme en estas creencias. Esta es la experiencia de Planned Parenthood en cualquiera de nuestros 22 centros de salud en Wisconsin, que ofrecen servicios de salud reproductiva para todos. Haz una cita hoy en ppwi.org y obtenga la atención que se merece, porque nosotros le brindaremos esa atención, pase lo que pase.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats and make your mouth water.
Tangy cheddar and jalapeno, dill pickle and Texas cheddar, and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered rain showers likely tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows dip down to about 39. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 49. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 47. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome, welcome back, party people. We are finishing up on our last day before the spring election. Holy moly, time flies. I'm here talking with Eric Rolholm on these, you know, the ballot referendum questions, the Supreme Court race, the 8th Senate District race. There's just, oh my gosh, it just never stops in the state of Wisconsin. So finishing up with our Supreme Court conversation, Eric, $50 million have poured into this race. A lot of it from, frankly, outside of the state of Wisconsin. Wow. Some of the big, well-known, you know, the Ulines, the Hendricks type people throwing money at this race. But something that I kind of want to touch on is Dan Kelly has kind of based his campaign on being, you know, I'm the law-following judge. I'm a constitutional conservative. That's why none of my coworkers on the Supreme Court bothered to endorse me, because that's what constitutional conservatives do. I'm not a politician. I just interpret the law. I'm not making it. The irony, of course, is that I'm hearing from some of my contacts that Dan Kelly will be going on Tucker Carlson's show tonight to discuss the importance of the Wisconsin turnout. We have to talk about the hypocrisy here when you base your entire campaign on one idea and then at the last second flip-flop. And actually, that's not even accurate. It's not even saying at the last second flip-flop, because he has been an extreme hyper-partisan from the get-go. And I know we have numerous examples of this. Can you kind of elaborate on why this is so bonkers and why it's ironic for someone like Dan Kelly to be making that argument while simultaneously doing the exact opposite?
Yeah, absolutely. So this has always been a lie. This has always been a Republican tactic, is to act like not changing anything is a morally neutral stance, and that they're just fair, neutral arbiters of the law who are just happen to be so much more educated and correct on the issues than we are. This is a total lie. Dan Kelly's been involved with the far right Fearless Society of Milwaukee. Like I said, he was allegedly involved in some of the January 6th nonsense.
Not allegedly. He was paid $120,000 for what he said was a 30-minute conversation with GOP Chairman Andrew Hitt. Now, if any of you listeners, please, 844-967-2789, if you've heard of any jobs that are hiring at $240K an hour, please let me know, because I am very much interested. I can have a resume out the door immediately.
Well, I'm saying allegedly because I don't want to be sued, but that is the reporting that I have read. And yes, he has been, his campaign and as well as his surrogates, have been unapologetic about his position, his anti-choice views, about how he believes that Wisconsinites should not have the opportunity to decide, their own body and medical decisions, about going after doctors, et cetera. This is the fundamental lie holding his campaign together, is out of one side, he's talking out of his mouth that he's, supposedly a fair, neutral arbiter of justice. And then out of the other side of his mouth, groups that explicitly will only say that they will endorse and campaign for a candidate if they will move even farther on restricting abortion rights, if they will move backwards on LGBTQ rights, if they will move backwards in allowing land to be developed or destroyed more for corporations, et cetera, et cetera. So Dan Kelly is an activist. He is a politician, and he is a right-wing ideological figure who wants to be elected to this seat explicitly because he wants to keep law the same and he wants to allow the legislature to keep their maps rigged. That's really, really the bacon that we're fighting for here, so to speak, is Dan Kelly's entire pitch hinges on injustice.
Yeah, I think it's really easy for someone like Dan Kelly to say, oh, fair maps is a legislative question when his team controls the legislature with a near supermajority, which then, you know, we have to touch on this eighth Senate district race where Assemblyman Dan Knodel, we got a whole bunch of Dans rolling around here.
Yeah.
Said in an interview last week that the power of impeachment is incredibly important for the conservatives to consolidate new powers and that judges such as by name Chisholm and Janet Protasiewicz could be impeached. They are overtly coming out and saying that they want to gather this power so that they can attack their political enemies. That's why races like this in the 8th Senate district is so incredibly important. We're lucky we have an incredible candidate in Jody Habish-Sinikin, and I just absolutely love Jody. But getting to our last topic that I want to cover quickly, because I know there's some interesting ways to cover this, is Twitter, you know, it's not real life. You know that better than I do, and you have you have explained this better than I possibly could, so I'll defer to you when we get to that point. But this fake AOC burner account story that is blown up, I wanted to touch on it only because a number of tiny conspiracy driving conservative Twitter accounts shared this, right? It catches the eyes of a couple of well-known conservative conspiracy theorists. All of a sudden, less than 24 hours later, a sitting member of the House of Representatives, of course, it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, is sharing this obviously fake story that anybody that has a moderate understanding of social media can see right through in a million years. But the pipeline of conspiracy theorists to elected conservative officials is insanely quick, right? Like I said, less than 24 hours. Give me your breakdown on the Twitter is not real life argument, because I just love this. I've used this in other conversations with other well-connected individuals that I've met in certain situations that have talked about how scary the growth of social media has become.
Yeah, so I could honestly do a whole hour on this topic. I'm our social media organizer. I've worked in social media for campaigns for a long time, and I have a lot of thoughts about social media, positive and negative, a lot of negative thoughts, actually. but social media, we talk about it in very dramatic ways. It is a communication tool at the end of the day, and it's a very narrow one. It has a lot of cachet because a lot of politicians, journalists, a lot of media people, you can use the term elites if you want, use Twitter to communicate and such. But there are lots of issues with Twitter and lots of issues with the Republican Party and money and politics, and those things kind of go hand in hand. But one of the things about social media that is really problematic is the echo chamber effect. The algorithm serves you things that you really want to hear. And that doesn't just apply to voters. That can apply to members of Congress, too. And when you have gerrymandering and you have ridiculous amounts of money that corporations will throw at just anyone because they'll say, sure, I'll allow drilling in this section of federal land or whatever, it becomes really easy to elect very unserious, very unnuanced politicians, candidates who have very immature views on the issue.
People that want that 30-second soundbite that can get plastered on Fox News at night.
Anywhere from Wisconsin's own Glenn Grothman to Marjorie Taylor Greene. And so this story is just really, really hilarious to me because this is politics at its worst, right? You read rumors online and you get spun up about it. You assume that they're true. And then all of a sudden, the sitting Republican member of Congress with the vote and committee seats, I think she got them back anyway after anti-Semitic stuff last year. That becomes what they focus on. But this becomes really relevant with us here in Wisconsin, because Twitter is not real life and we don't get all of our news and priorities from the internet. The folks around you who you might talk to on the phone, who you might speak to at the grocery store or knock their door if you're volunteering for a race, are going to tell you about the issues that are relevant to their life. And so the internet can be very good at sucking you into a fake view of the world. And it can be very entertaining and it can be a good source of news. But this story really illustrates how if you're not actually having those conversations, you can not only get a wrong sense of what people's priorities are, but actually...
Your friends, your family, your neighbors, they're going to have real world issues that they care about. So thanks for joining me, Eric. This is Dueling Tangents. We'll see you tomorrow. Get out and vote, people.
Vote.
His community.
On Tuesday, April 4th, we have a chance to elect people who will do the right thing for Wisconsin and for Waukesha. We need experienced leaders we can trust. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court, Fred Stram for Waukesha County Circuit Court, and Diane Voigt for Waukesha School Board. Janet, Fred, Diane, because we can trust them. Vote on April 4th. Your vote and your voice matter.
Paid for by Blue Sky Waukesha.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.